episode 261 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, and our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics. So be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Donna, Lindsay, and Elizabeth. Recently, Lindsay had an opportunity to sail with Avalon Waterways on an active and discovery itinerary along the Danube. Tonight, she is going to share with us a little about her adventures on board as a solo traveler and all the fun adult-centered activities she was able to squeeze in. So let's get started. So, Lindsay, Avalon, was it your first river cruise?
It was my first river cruise. I was very, very excited.
So, give me a little idea of your... So, it's funny enough, you sailed on the Avalon Impression, and so let's hear your impression of the Impression.
So, I actually really, really love smaller ship sailing. Like, I've recently been kind of... spoiled and had a couple opportunities to sail in smaller ships, and I love that type of experience, and Avalon was just everything I expected and then like a little bit more. I kind of thought I knew the service was going to be good. I knew that, you know, I knew the accommodations were going to be good. There were kind of all these expectations that I had that were fulfilled, but more than that, there was just a little bit extra that I wasn't expecting. And I really, really, I really treasure the time that I spent on board. It's not a very large ship. You know, I think like maybe like 150 passengers. I can't remember. But I don't even think we had that many. I think maybe we had 100 or so.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And the service was incredible. The space and how the ship, I think, is laid out is very well thought out. The common areas were a lot bigger than kind of what I had perceived or expected. I kind of thought, you know, we're dealing with smaller space here. It's going to feel a little more crowded or a little smaller, but that wasn't the case at all. There were lots of segmented areas where you could gather with your traveling group or your new friends and socialize. And I kind of really love that. They have this back lounge at the very back of the ship. It's like this quiet place where you can play games. There's board games in there, read or socialize. We usually end up back there drinking, and someone had brought their guitar on board, so we were back there singing the whole week. It was really great. I loved everything about the sailing. I loved the food. That was probably my favorite thing, was the food. One of the chefs was he was a Hungarian chef from Budapest, and he made this incredible goulash, and it was so good. And I had asked for the recipe, and then the last day, the last morning, he walked up to me with the recipe for the goulash. So I'm so excited. It's gotten colder here, so now I'm going to be trying to make some goulash.
So go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I was going to say, we talked to Elizabeth when her and Marcus did the act of discovery, and we kind of did it from the kids' view, but were there any kids on your sailing at all?
No children whatsoever. I think I might have actually been the youngest person on board. There might have been, maybe there was one person younger than me, but I was probably in like the definitely the top three youngest on board. And it was quite a mixed bag of ages, I think. There were quite a few people in probably like late 40s, early 50s, which was more than I thought there would be. I thought everyone would be like 60s and above is kind of the stats that you see. But there were quite a few, maybe because of the active itinerary, maybe it's because of it, that this is, there were so many more activities in this type of itinerary. So you have the active excursions, then you have the discovery excursions, which are a little more in-depth experiences, and then the regular classic ones as well. But one thing I did learn about this, I knew going into it that all the tours would be more active you know, more focused on moving, and I am not the most, I think I'm probably like the least active person of all the agents at Outlander.
That's not true.
I like to not have to walk too far, and I don't want to climb anything or bike anywhere.
We want to eat and drink.
Yes, I want to eat and drink is exactly what I want to do. So one thing I did notice that even though I picked a lot of the discovery options and a lot of the classic tour options, all of those on these active and discovery itineraries do have more walking and do have more activity than on the regular sailings. So that's just something to note, that everything has a little more active component to it than on the regular sailings.
But there's no problem if you just completely opt out of the activities altogether, is there?
No, you can okay. Do as much or as little. That's what one of the nice things about the river cruise is that you have this freedom of itinerary. You can do the included activities. You can do additional activities. You can do no activities. You can just walk off the ship and go explore the city on your own, which several people did do. You can go kind of at your own pace. But the activities are so well done and well run, I think, for the most part, that I did get quite a lot out of them, and I'm glad I did. I did kind of do everything I could possibly do. We were in Vienna for 2 days, and I did 3 excursions each day in Vienna. Wow. So, I mean, I did quite pack myself.
That's
with
pretty active, Lindsay.
Yeah, that was pretty active. But they were like in Vienna. Let's see, what did I do in Vienna? I did the. I got to do the Discover the Secrets of Absinthe tour. And I did a traditional wine dinner at a wine tavern, which was so much fun. I went to see a classical concert at night, which was incredible, and highly recommend that. And I got to be a chef for a day. I get to some poor man with the patience of a saint tried to teach me. And I think maybe 11 of my new friends who had been drinking all day. to make schnitzel and strudel and potato salad, and it was fantastic.
Okay, stuff too. That's not easy. So
no, it was a lot of fun, and but I did quite a few activities, and I liked this itinerary because there were things that I would never have thought to do or have tried on my own. Had I not done them with Avalon, so I'm kind of grateful for that. I did sign up for one of the biking excursions, and I changed it at the last minute, and I'm so glad I did, because the feedback I heard from the bikers, these are people who really enjoy biking. So they go out and they bike quite frequently. Some of the biking excursions are in town, so they're in a town, you're like in the one in Budapest especially, there is traffic, there are streets that you're not familiar with, and I'm kind of a shutterbug. I probably take way more pictures than I should. And I could not imagine myself trying to ride a bike and stop and take pictures and then try and keep up. And I'm so glad at the last minute I decided not to do that. But there were biking activities for people who were way more active. And then there were biking activities for people who weren't. And then there were options where you could just take a bike, and because they have bikes on board, and you could just go at your own pace. And that was kind of very nice, a nice option to have, even though.
When you said you did 3 in Vienna, I know a lot of times, well, for river cruises, one of the things is that excursions are included. So were all 3 included, or was like something included and you paid extra?
So the treasure. So on the, we started off in Budapest, and then we went to Weisgarden, and then we were in Vienna for 2 days. The first one I did in Vienna, the Treasures of Vienna, was like the classic type tour. That one was included. The classical concert was extra, and so wasn't the Secrets of Absinthe. That tour was extra as well, but not by too much. I think around $45 for the Absinthe tour, $60 for the concert. The second day in Vienna, I did the Break of Dawn tour, and that was included. The Austrian chef, that was extra, and then the wine dinner was, I think the wine dinner was 59 euros. So there was one excursion. I did, huh?
You got up at the break of dawn?
Yes, I got up at the break of dawn and ended my day at a traditional wine dinner where the restaurant is family owned and they only serve the wine that they make at that particular restaurant. Wow. And that's the only place you can get that wine. And it was flowing. Let me tell you, we're not skimping on the wine. So, that was a very long day, but very fun. I did something every day that was included, but I did try and build in, like I did the, retro car tour in Budapest, which was probably one of the most expensive things I did. I think that was $114 and the Austrian chef one was like $111, but man, that was worth every penny. That was the best money I spent.
Cooking class would be
that, you know. I couldn't imagine going anywhere now and not doing a cooking class. I think that's going to be a staple in my travels for years to come.
For the record, on our cruise, there was a cooking class that was included.
Yeah,
it was a discovery tour.
Right, 'cause I remember.
Yeah, but it wasn't nearly as complicated as schnitzel. It's actually pretty simple food. So no, not schnitzel isn't that hard, but strudel is a little bit more
strudel
difficult.
They were both a little. I think what made it so good was the ingredients too. And so I was really stressing out, making sure I took pictures of everything that he used to try and get almost like as exact to it as I could. And then I even made sure they took me to the little store around the corner where he bought a lot of this stuff from. And I was able to get the same mustard, the mustard that comes in the metal tin tube. And when I was in Budapest, I got a tube of the paprika. And so I was really conscious of trying to take home some of the ingredients that I knew that would make the difference in the flavors if I tried to recreate some of the stuff. Obviously it's not going to taste as good as the chef's, but I was really happy. I did follow my own schnitzel through the whole process and I did eat my own schnitzel. So the one that I pounded and battered and everything is the one that I actually got to eat. And I don't know if the strudel that I helped roll is the one that I ate or not though, because that was a little harder to keep track. Yeah, to track. But,
well, see, we brought an extra suitcase to bring home two cases of beer.
Yeah. Well, see, I brought home some beer, but not as much. I did go, one of the excursions was in, where did we go? We got to go to an abbey. And
is it Melk?
Mm-hmm.
Melk?
No, not. I didn't go to Melk. I went to Ingelhartzell. In Ingelhartzell, and there is a special branch of monks there. It's a very old sect of monks, and I think there's only like five of them left living.
The Trappist monk.
Thank you. The Trappist monks, and got to experience their beer, doing a beer tasting, and I brought home some of that beer, which was fantastic. And I also brought home some chocolate that was flavored like the beer, and brought home lots of their little elixirs. They have all these little awesome schnapps types elixirs to heal all of your ails, and brought home a little box of assorted. We also went to, in Krems, we got to go meet the Count of Clam. And Sandy, you'll love this. Like, there's his castle, Clam Castle. I guess I don't know if it's his grandfather or his great-grandfather. The castle needed to come up with a way to make money. So they ended up, they rent it out, or they have concerts there. So they'll have famous musicians from all over will come out and put concerts, and they pack the area there for the concerts. I thought it would be a great place to see a music festival when we were there. He hosted us for the night and he met us and gave us a tour of his home. And he actually still lives there with his wife and his kids, which is really, it's family habited. And they met us, we got to try their own beer that they make there. And then there was wine there as well, but I bought a couple extra bottles of that to take home for my husband to try. So that was my sacrificial offering because he could not go on this trip with me as I brought him home some beer.
I'll make you some schnitzel.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do this tour. I will say it was very interesting doing this as a solo traveler. I did know some people on board, so that made it a little bit different and a little more enjoyable for me than I think it would have been had I not known anybody. So as a solo traveler, I will say being on a ship with this few people. I did make some friends. I did meet some people, but most people who do these, who do river cruises, are in couples or pairs or groups of people. So, and everyone on board was friendly. I do feel like I made some lasting friendships here, but I did, in the back of my mind, I was wondering like how different this experience would have been had I not known anybody. And I think that's something to keep in mind as a, if you're a solo traveler and you're thinking about, there are, you know, picking an itinerary maybe that would attract other solo travelers as well.
Do they have solo cabins?
Yeah.
You can get, Avalon is one of the few companies that still offers a certain amount of single solo supplement waivers per sailing, depending on their promotions.
But the cabins are not, the cabins are still made for two people, mm-hmm. but they just sell them to the US for one.
And I just have to say, I really thought, you know, I always, you always hear about, oh, the bed facing the window. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's great. It looks pretty in the pictures. And this is great, but it's not something I need. And having the whole wall be your window that opens up, and I don't really need it. I can't imagine sailing without it now. I actually really enjoyed laying in bed and just watching the world go by as we were saying. That was such a great feature. And there were also all these awesome little touches in the stateroom that I loved. I love that they had the floor lighting in the bathroom. I don't know if your bathroom had that, but I love that because then you're not stubbing your toes. You don't have to worry about like making sure that light's on. I love the space in the bathroom and how they put it all at an angle, and that gives it that much, you just had that much more room. And by not having the balcony, by having the actual, I forget what it's called, the, what type of, window is that called?
No, the window opens to a balcony, right?
Like it's a French balcony.
It's a French balcony, but yeah, you don't, there's, by not eating up all that space, you did, I had so much more room to walk around in there. And had I been sharing that with my husband, who is like quite big, he's like 6'5", I think that would have been perfect. It would have been a perfect amount of space for us. So I really, really love it.
I agree with you. But before Lindsay and I went on this trip, we had to take these, well, our trips, because they were separate cruises. We had to take all the training with Avalon. And if they said, you know, 7-foot picturesque windows or window at, or a wall on a slant or magic wall or beds facing the window one more time, I'm like, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're just like over and over, you're like, yeah, I get it, I get it, I get it. But until you're actually there and you see it and you're comparing it to every other cabin you've been in and every other cruise you've taken, then you're like, I get this now. This is better than most of the hotel rooms I've stayed in.
It's very true. It's
such a...
And even Marcus, who is a big, you know, he loves hotel rooms, and he was like, this is actually really cool. He didn't really love the window. He always went behind me and closed it. I don't know why. I think he was nervous having it. He's kind of my OSHA kid. He put a safety label on all the things around the house. I don't know if he thought he was going to fall out, but he wanted to close the window.
He thought like a duck was going to fly.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No, you know, I loved it. I had the breeze blowing the little sheer curtain like I was in the commercial.
And funny story about your solo travel thing and beating people on the ship. You know, it's such a small, we had 90 on ours, so probably about the same as yours. And by the time you get off the ship, you feel like you've met everybody. And the funny story I have is I just got back from a trip that was all travel agents. And I went on a river cruise last year that was all travel agents. And there were 12 of us on this trip that I just went on. And two of them were on my river cruise that I was on in November. But I don't remember them at all.
Wow.
Like we never met each other. And when we finally realized we had been on the same trip, I was like, how did we not meet? And so the rest of the week we had fun going through our pictures on our phone.
Looking for each other.
Looking for pictures of each other. We have pictures of each other on our phone. So it is true that even on a small ship like that, you could, in theory, isolate yourself to a degree. Because I felt like I was being pretty social on that trip. I mean, I'm on a trip with a bunch of travel agents.
Yeah, I wonder if Amy would know that.
Yeah.
Amy tends to like remember people.
I'll have to ask her. So, so yeah, I do think now
because she's huggy.
I did a cruise with my husband where there were two solo travelers on that cruise, and they did get to meet people. But I do think you have you find a smaller group.
It's definitely, I think it's a little bit of a different experience. But I mean, I made friends with people. And then the funny thing is I kept running into people. Even after I got off the ship, I went back to Munich. I mean, this was an extended trip for me. I went to Munich for a week beforehand and did a bunch of stuff in Germany. And then I went back to Salzburg afterwards. And then I went back to Munich. But I ran into people from the cruise in Salzburg. And then in Munich, in like one of the biggest beer gardens in the middle of the night, I ran into a whole table of people from the cruise. My one regret from this sailing, besides the fact that I couldn't take my husband with me, because that would have just made it so much better, but is that I did not do the optional extension. So if you are going to add, whether you're sailing with Avalon or any other river cruise line, if you know you're going to add time on anyway, I highly look at the extension, because when they're doing that planning meeting, and everyone was down there, and they're people that you've made friends with and sailed with all week long, it's kind of hard to, you know, you feel a little bit left out when everybody else is making plans to go do stuff. And so that was the one thing I would have changed. Had I known I was going to like the people so much on board that I would want to continue traveling with them, I would have done that extension. And because you do get to form a little close bonds with people. And
well, and I can tell you firsthand, I had somebody do the Danube probably the week before you did it on a different ship. It wasn't an active in Discovery. And we were, they originally said they did not want to go to Prague. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'll have to go to Prague. And so we started looking at transfers because they wanted basically their hand to be held. They'd never been to Europe before. And they were like, I want somebody to transfer, you know, we want transfers to the airport. And so we were pricing flying out of Munich, flying out of Nuremberg, and the transfer, because Avalon doesn't transfer you in some cases if the cruise is truly sold as a package, if you don't take that extension. So basically I priced all these things, and it turned out that adding 3 nights in Prague and flying back with Avalon's air was cheaper than leaving 3 days earlier and trying to get to Munich. And so they're like, so what you're saying is we could extend our trip by 3 nights, go into the city that we don't know really, really want to go to, but it would be cheaper. And I said, yes, and you want to go there, you'll love it. Yeah. And sure enough, they got there and they started posting pictures. I was like, I told you, you'll love it. So it could actually be beneficial to you cost-wise to add that extension. Because it really is not, their pricing is very good for those extensions.
Yeah, and they because they're part of Globus, so they have so many connections. And I do have to mention this. So river cruising is one of those things where if the water levels are such, you know, it's unpredictable. Things happen. And we were supposed to start our sailing on the 21st. What day I was supposed to start, we were supposed to get on board on, we were supposed to board the ship in Budapest on the 20th, on Tuesday, August 20th, which is also a national holiday in Hungary. It's St. Stephen's Day, biggest festival of the year. And so they had, you know, I'd done two pre-nights at the Intercontinental in Budapest. They're one of their chosen hotels, and went to a self-guided little brewery tour, went to a food tour in Budapest and a bunch of stuff like that. But, the night that we were supposed to leave, something was wrong with one of the engines on the ship. So they very seamlessly ended up, getting us another hotel room. And I don't know how they did this. They managed to find, I think it was like 60 hotel rooms on the most sold out night of the year in Hungary. And they had to get bus drivers for us to get us to our first excursion, but they had to actually bring them in from another country because nobody in Hungary is working the day after St. Stephen's Festival. So they did this, you know, it was, you can tell the worth of a company when things go wrong or when things don't go quite as planned. This was done so seamlessly. We didn't even miss a beat on any of our tours. We did spend one extra night in land in the hotel. We had a beautiful, most of the people got beautiful firework view rooms. The fireworks happened right there on the river, right where we were, and got to see this amazing fireworks festival, fireworks show that we wouldn't have seen had we left early, and got an extra night in Budapest, and didn't miss a beat on our tours, and were seamlessly transferred to the ship right away and on our way the next day, without missing a beat. And I think it's because Globus has all these connections that they were able to to utilize, because I just can't imagine being able to pull it, because I know that that hotel had to have been sold out. There's the Sofitel and the Intercontinental right there, and there's no way on during their biggest festival that they hadn't been sold out. And for them to be able to effortlessly make that happen for us was quite impressive. So that was cool. And I kind of hope, you know, having done this itinerary now and gotten to experience that, if they have it again where you're leaving Budapest, and I hope they take that into consideration when they do the itineraries in the future, maybe make that extra night there anyway, because it was such a cool to get to experience the celebration, and to see the city come alive like that was fantastic. The whole weekend there were bands playing out there. There were street food vendors and things like that. It was such a great time to be in Budapest.
And that is a nice hotel. That's the one that I had to stay in because the water levels were low for my Danube cruise last year. So it's great.
And it's a very hoppin' city, very cosmopolitan. Everybody spoke English, so.
And beer was super cheap. Amy and I went
too.
Like, oh my God. I think she had a glass of wine and I had a glass of beer, and they brought us snacks, and it was like $6. It's like, yes.
Wow.
So for people that may have never taken a river cruise, do you think the Danube's a good kind of starter?
I do. I think either the Danube or the Rhine, but I think it's a good starter place for a river cruise. It kind of had everything that you would expect. You know, when you think about a river cruise, the history, and you think about castles, and you think about that, you kind of want that. I mean, I don't know if we're all indoctrined by what we see, all the commercials or what you hear about river cruises. That's what I wanted, that iconic experience. And I felt like that with the vistas and the beautiful scenery, I really did get it.
Yeah, I did the Rhine first and then the Danube. And I think that's nice because the Rhine is, I don't know, it's a little bit more Western Europe. Then, you know, some people are not as interested in Eastern Europe, but I it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So, and I've definitely sent first timers there.
One thing I will say is I did like, I wanted to do a lot of sightseeing. So I went in early and I kind of built my own trip up the week before. And I was so glad that I did that because I never once did I feel like I didn't have enough time to explore, or that I didn't get to see something, or that I wished I'd had more time in an area. I really feel like I had the adequate amount of time in all the places that we visited. And I think the tours were really well thought out in how they were laid out and how many people. I just want to mention that compared to some of the other lines, like there were not a lot of people on my tours. We had maybe 20 people a bus. It wasn't overcrowded. There were not, you didn't have a problem following along. There was no hesitation, any of that. I don't know if your experience was similar, but I was very impressed with how they did the tours.
The small ship lends itself to that. And then they break you up into small groups. So, you know, even if half the people on the ship are doing the same tour, you're not all in the same group.
And you're making friends with people. And so in the morning when you have like each bus has its own, has those whisper boxes or whatever, and they're all a different color band to tell you which color bus, and you'll find people in the morning who are like, oh, what bus are you going on? Oh no, you need this color. You need to come with us. And so you're kind of, it was so great to have these experiences with people. And I think that smaller environment really lends itself to a more authentic.
Do you have an international crowd? Or did you have people from all over the world on your ship? Or
We had, I think for our international representatives were Australia and New Zealand. We had some Aussies and some Kiwis on board, and everyone else was US and Canadian. I think there might have been some other people, but the majority were US. So one thing I will say is like, the entertainment at night, they did have a pianist who also sang, and she provided entertainment. They did bring in some local cultural entertainment depending on where we were at port, but for the most part that was our entertainment at night, was the lounge singer. And that was kind of neat. The first night was the first full night that we were all on board, was a little wild. Everybody was dancing and having a great time, and I think you might have seen some video online of Mike Edick singing.
Yes, I did. reminding me.
I need to go back and look for that.
Yeah. Yeah. He had his brother from down under. But it was just a great time, and it was, but so there was only maybe I'd say one or two nights that were a little wild, and everything else, there were activities in the evening. So if there was some stuff going on board, I missed it because I was off the ship and doing, exploring.
Yeah. Market. We didn't have a lounge singer, but we did have a piano player. He didn't really sing, very much. When he did, he sort of mumbled through it, but, he played, and Marcus really enjoyed listening to him. So he would actually make a point of making sure that we were back, you know, before the piano player stopped playing. Yeah. So he could listen for a little bit. Yeah.
So the one thing I will say I was surprised about, I was a little concerned about alcohol access, because alcohol is available on these sailings complimentary with your meals. And I didn't know kind of how is that going to work, like, beforehand, but they did have a happy hour every night, and it ended up, I bought wine in Budapest that was just the most amazing wine. And I couldn't have imagined, I think my bar bill was maybe, it was under $20 for sure for the whole week. It was,
that's amazing. Cause you drink so much.
I know.
None of us believe that.
Not as much as you, but yeah.
Yeah, the happy hour is nice. It's, their drinks are half price, but then they have no corkage fee. No. So if you bought bottles of beer, in port, you could open up your bottle of beer and they'll bring you a corkscrew or a bottle opener. There's no, like, you can't drink that on board. There's none of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And truly I did. I brought beer on board. I brought wine on board, and these are the perfect destinations to be visiting and trying the local. So I'm so glad that there's not a all you can drink thing, because I think maybe I wouldn't have experienced some of the local beers that I did, or I would have tried to take home way more than I did. But yeah, I was wondering how that would go. I was wondering how, if I was going to be settling a big tab at the end of the week, or, but it ended up, and they had great wine too. I was really impressed with the wine that they did offer at the meals. And that's something that, you know, when wine tends to be included, you tend to be a little skeptical about the type of wine that you're getting, but much like the food quality was excellent. And I think the wine was really, really good.
And they don't just have a house wine. There's different wine every night. So they'll bring, you know, if you're in Vienna, they'll have something that's from the Vienna area or whatever. They will cater it. And you can still get the other wines you've had. If you really love the wine you had the first night, you can ask for it again, but they change out the wine every night. So it's not, you know, you're not always having the Kendall Jackson Sauvignon Blanc every night. It's a different, you know, different red and a different white are offered every night.
Great. Well, that's our show for the week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Flyaway or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Linza, Donna, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.